Welcome everyone to today's ILTA podcast interview entitled Applying Design Thinking to Litigation Support. I am your moderator for today. My name is Rachel McAdams. I'm a senior consultant at Sky Discovery, and I'm excited to welcome our speaker today, Ginevra Saylor, who's the Director of Innovation and Knowledge Programs at Gowling WLG. Welcome, Ginevra.
Thank you, Rachel.
So we have a really interesting topic today, and it's probably something that a lot of people in litigation support don't know very much about. Just to kick us off, could you give us a summary of what is design thinking?
Certainly. At its most basic, I would say design thinking is a creative process. And that process looks at what you're trying to achieve through the eyes and the perspective of the audience that you're designing for. So that could be clients, customers. And what you try to do is you empathize with that person or persons to understand what they might be thinking, what they're feeling, experiencing at every step of the way. And you use this understanding to design a better product, a better service, or just a better overall experience.
And it's not something that is specific to legal problems, right? It's used in a wide variety of industries and applications.
Not at all. In fact, as with many things, our industry is a latecomer to the party. it's been used in manufacturing, product development. You know, Apple and other tech companies are masters of design thinking. They look for ways to delight us with their products. But it's used in tourism, banking, healthcare. And like I said, only more recently in legal services, but we are now seeing it applied in legal services, first in legal tech design, but now within law firms. And what we're seeing is law firms using it to develop that overall better client experience. And it can really be applied in all areas of law practice and in our law practice operations to make a better experience for the people who work in our firms as well.
Who tends to be championing this approach of design thinking in a law firm? Is it the attorneys or is it adjacent legal professionals?
I would say it's people who are in non-practicing roles. So in many law firms, it started with people in knowledge management or people charged with innovation in the law firm. Because these people are inherently looking for ways to deliver our services in a more interesting, more satisfactory way from the client's perspective. So I'd say, by and large, it's led by knowledge management, innovation, those kinds of operations within the law firm. But having said that, many lawyers on their own have come up with this concept of designing for the client and really having a client-centered approach to how they deliver their services. So even though I'd say by and large it comes from knowledge management and innovation and places like that, we do see it coming directly from lawyers as well.
That's great. Can you give us, I was going to ask for an example of where this has been applied, but considering that we're thinking about this in relation to litigation support and litigation in general, do you have an example that actually relates to litigation support and litigation of how design thinking has been applied?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really why I was excited about doing this podcast with you, because my best and biggest personal experience with design thinking in my own firm was with our litigation department. And apropos to the last question, the head of that group came to me. He didn't exactly say, I want to do design thinking, but he said he wanted to look at how they deliver their services and make it more palatable to their clients. So they wanted to find a way to take out the points of friction and make it a smoother and better overall experience for the clients. So what we did was, I said, great, what I'm going to do is a design thinking project with you. And because they wanted to look at their overall process, what we decided or what I proposed, and they were very amenable to, was that they would get a group of partners, associates, clerks, legal assistants, anyone who was involved in the process. And I think we pulled together 16 people who would commit to 4 3-hour workshops. Three 4-hour workshops, a total of 12 hours, which is a lot of time. And so what we did was in the first workshop, I did a crash course on design thinking for about an hour. And then for the rest of the time, in our remainder of the time on that meeting, and then in the second and third workshop, we mapped out the entire process from a client discovering that they have a litigation matter, looking for us, coming to us, all the way up through if there's an appeal at the end. And so that was a really exciting project. We mapped the whole thing out. We looked for the areas where clients, you know, from the client's experience, they might be wondering what's going on. They might be confused, might be angry. We tried to figure out exactly what the client was thinking at every point. And then the second part of the process was to go through all those points and, of course, try to map out a better experience for the client.
Did you have any challenges getting your workshop participants to think in a different way about how they were, you know, going through cases and matters?
Well, we had a bigger challenge called COVID. We started this before the pandemic. So our first session was live. We all got together. I provided food, which always helps. And so, of course, that session went really well. We developed a rapport, trust, you know, it went really well. And then right before the next sessions were scheduled, we were in lockdown. So I was really concerned about how this would translate into Zoom and if it would work or if the whole thing was going to fall apart. But that is not what happened. It actually went really well. And I think because we were not in the office, there were no distractions. And everyone was really fully engaged and participating and not being called out to, you know, answer a question or something like that. So it went really well. In terms of challenges in the actual process of thinking from the client's view, I was surprised at how easy it was for the people involved to really step out of their roles, you know, as the lawyer or the legal assistant, and imagine themselves as the client. And they really were great at empathizing and imagining what the client might be thinking or feeling at that point. They were really great at coming up with problems. I'd say the biggest challenge is as soon as you identify a potential problem when you're mapping, people immediately want to jump to creating solutions. And you have to say, no, 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 we're not doing that yet. There'll be plenty of time for that. We're just mapping out the whole current state now. So I'd say that's the biggest challenge for them, not to jump right into coming up with solutions.
Have you implemented all the solutions that you came up with during the workshops?
All of them? No. So, and if we had tried to, it would have been a colossal failure.
Mm-hmm.
So part of it then is setting priorities. And that's exactly what we did. So we looked at everything that we had identified, and then we kind of categorized them into short-term quick win type projects, things that would be medium-term and longer-term, but we also ranked them by what were the most serious, you know, down to the less serious. And by doing that, we then came up with a timeline and a plan for how we were going to implement each or tackle each problem and implement each solution. And that's what we're doing now.
Wonderful. I was just thinking about something you said earlier where you were talking about imagining times in the process where clients were feeling confused or angry or waiting for updates. That really chimed with me from a litigation support perspective, because I'm sure our clients feel like that 99% of the time, just due to the nature of the work that we do in e-discovery and litigation support. If we wanted to get started with design thinking, where is the best place to start?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And by the way, when I practiced way back long ago, I was a litigator. So this one was probably easier for me because I had the litigation experience. It was closer to my heart and what I had done. Mm-hmm. But regardless, you know, I would say if you want to start with, if you want to get started, it's probably good to pick one small area. And what you're going to be looking for is where you're seeing the most challenge. In anything, you know, design thinking is no different than anything else we do in innovation. You always start with a problem, never start with the solution. So, you know, people are always very tempted to run out and buy technology and say, where can I use this? You want to avoid the temptation to do that with design thinking, like, oh, I've heard this is a good thing, so I'm just going to find a place to do it and do it. Instead, what you should do is look at your litigation process and look for what currently is the biggest point of friction. Where do you see your clients appearing to be less satisfied? Where are they confused or angry or just, you know, expressing something less than satisfaction? And then also, internally, where do your litigators and, you know, the whole litigation team seem to be struggling most? And if you look for that biggest point of friction, and zero in on it, that's probably the best place to start and apply design thinking to solve that problem.
Thank you. That's really, really helpful. And certainly something that I think
it's going to be different for each firm, right? That's why I can't say start with, you know, e-discovery. Although the whole discovery process is a good place to look I would say, because I think, you know, that's where things tend to take longer. And clients, I think, experience a lot of frustration. But like I said, it could be different in every firm.
Are there any places where you would suggest that ILTA listeners go to learn more about design thinking? Or is it something you just
need to
experience?
No, there's a lot of literature out there. And I would be remiss if I did not shamelessly promote a book that the ABA just published that I'm part of. Actually, my chapter talks all about my experience with that litigation project I just talked about. And the book is called Design Your Law Practice. I can even show you it. Design Your Law Practice, Using Design Thinking to Get Next Level Results. Anyway, so that's my shameless plug, but there's all kinds of materials. I know that in the past, we've done design thinking webinars on ILTA that you could find the recordings for. We've done them at ILTACon, so the recordings for that are there. And there's just a lot of published material and articles that you can find.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for those pointers. It's been really lovely talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your experience and your expertise. We really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's been listening. And we hope to welcome you again on the podcast again soon.
Thank you for inviting me.